Imagine for a second pulling off the absolute ultimate heist. I mean, you break into a vault, you steal $50 million, and you get away completely clean.
Right.
But then, as you're, driving down the highway, you look in the rearview mirror and you realize your getaway car is leaking this continuous glowing trail of neon paint.
Just a massive neon sign pointing right at you.
Exactly. A trail that the police, the FBI, and frankly, like anyone with an internet connection can see from space.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that scenario isn't from a movie. It is the very real, very stressful reality for today's top cyber criminals. And it is exactly why we are jumping into this deep dive today.
It really reframes the whole picture of modern cybercrime, doesn't it? I mean, we're so used to this outdated stereotype of like a lone hacker in a hoodie typing away in some dark basement.
Right, the guy from the 90s movies.
Yeah, exactly. But the intelligence we're looking at today paints a completely different picture. It's wild.
It really is. So we are looking at a comprehensive Tikkun Dark Web special report. It's titled The Fall of the Adia 6 Crypto Laundering Empire. And what this report details is that the people who are, locking up your local hospital's IT systems or freezing your company's supply chain, they aren't lone wolves.
Not even close.
They are multi-billion dollar digital cartels. I mean, we are talking about groups that have actual human resources departments recruiting coding prodigies.
Yeah, with benefits packages and everything.
Right. They have customer support desks to literally walk victims through paying ransoms. But most importantly, for our deep dive today, they have highly sophisticated financial laundering divisions.
And our mission for this deep dive is to really unpack the rise and the dramatic collapse of one of those specific financial divisions.
It's a big one.
Yeah, a massive $380 million cybercriminal central bank, basically, known as Adia 6. But, we aren't just looking at a standard police raid here. We are exploring why dismantling this specific financial leviathan represents a fundamental shift in the global war on cybercrime.
Totally. But to understand why taking down Adia 6 is such a monumental victory, we really need to start by breaking down a massive public misconception about cryptocurrency itself.
Oh, yeah, the big myth.
Right. Because I think a lot of people listening to this right now probably assume that hackers use Bitcoin because it's untraceable, because it's like invisible ghost money.
And that is the single biggest myth in the entire cryptocurrency space. If we want to understand the bottleneck these cartels are hitting, we have to recognize that Bitcoin is the exact opposite of anonymous.
Okay.
It is arguably one of the most transparent, public, and auditable financial systems ever created by humans.
So it's not actually anonymous. It's, what's the word? Pseudonymous.
Exactly. It's pseudonymous, but goes even further than that. I mean, it is inherently a surveillance system.
But wait, a surveillance system?
Yeah, think about it. Every single transaction executed since the very first block of Bitcoin was ever mined is permanently stored on a public ledger.
The blockchain.
Right. Think of it like a giant, indestructible spreadsheet that is copied on thousands of computers all around the world. Anyone can look at it.
Wow.
So when a ransomware cartel extorts $50 million from a corporation, intelligence agencies aren't sitting around guessing where the money went. They literally watch it move from one digital wallet to the next.
Okay, let's unpack this with that neon paint analogy from the start, because this is fascinating.
Yeah, let's do it.
The initial hack, stealing the Bitcoin, is the bank robbery. But the getaway car is leaking that glowing neon paint all over the public ledger.
Yep.
So the actual problem for the hacker isn't the theft itself. The real bottleneck is trying to spend neon-covered money without setting off every single alarm in the financial system.
Right. And let's take that a step further because the hackers eventually hit what the report calls the off-ramping choke point.
Off-ramping.
Yeah. I mean, hackers don't hack just to hold digital tokens on a screen. They want to buy luxury cars. They want to pay their developers. They want to actually enjoy their stolen wealth in the real world.
Right, they want cash.
Exactly. To do that, they have to convert that Bitcoin into spendable fiat currency, actual dollars or euros. And the only real way to do that at scale is to pass through centralized cryptocurrency exchanges.
And those exchanges, I mean, they aren't exactly the Wild West anymore.
Not at all. Legitimate centralized exchanges enforce incredibly strict anti-money laundering and know your customer regulations now.
So they check IDs.
Yeah, exactly. The moment that neon-covered, tainted Bitcoin hits a major exchange, automated systems instantly flag it. The exchange freezes the account, seizes the funds, and hands the hackers real-world IP address and identity straight over to Interpol.
But wait, if law enforcement can see the neon money and they know who these people are through the exchanges, why don't they just go arrest them? Why is this such a drawn-out, endless war?
Geography. It almost always comes down to geography.
Oh, like where they live.
Right. These apex cartels deliberately operate out of hostile nations or jurisdictions that simply do not have extradition treaties with the U.S. or Europe.
Wow. Okay.
You can know exactly who the hacker is. You can have a high-res picture of them. But if their host government turns a blind eye and refuses to hand them over, a traditional arrest warrant is basically just useless paper.
Which brings us to the FBI and Europol's massive paradigm shift mentioned in the Tekin report.
This is where it gets really interesting.
Because instead of trying to arrest untouchable foot soldiers in foreign countries, they stopped playing whack-a-mole. They decided to attack the logistics.
It's pure economic warfare.
Right.
If you can't touch the hacker physically, you destroy their liquidity infrastructure. If you cut off the laundering artery, the hackers are left holding hundreds of millions in tainted coins that they literally cannot spend. The whole economic incentive driving the ransomware industry just evaporates.
But here is where human nature kicks in, right? Because these hackers were trapped by this glowing neon trail, a massive market vacuum opened up on the dark web.
A very lucrative vacuum.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a liquidity problem worth hundreds of millions of dollars, someone out there is going to build a solution. And that is exactly how the underground network Audius 6 was born.
Audius 6 started relatively small, actually. The classified documents in the report show it began as this low-volume escrow service, mostly handling transactions for, like, darknet narcotics and small exploit vendors.
Small potatoes.
Yeah. But as massive ransomware groups' names you might have actually seen in the news, like Lockbit, ALPHV, and Conti, as they started making hundreds of millions, the administrators of Audius 6 pivoted.
We saw the real money.
Exactly. They became the VIP, white-glove financial service for the apex cartels. And to protect themselves from this new law enforcement strategy, they utilized what's called bulletproof hosting.
Bulletproof hosting?
Yeah. They scattered their server infrastructure across several Eastern European jurisdictions with incredibly weak cyber laws to make themselves untouchable.
So they built a fortress?
Basically, yeah. And inside that fortress, they built a cryptocurrency mixer, or what some call a tumbler, utilizing a privacy concept called CoinJoin.
Okay, stop right there, because we hear terms like mixer thrown around on the news a lot, but I really want to know the actual mechanics here.
Sure.
If I have a glowing, neon-painted Bitcoin, how does Audius 6 mathematically scrub it clean? Let's walk through the report's example with that hypothetical hacker, Alex.
Let's do it. So let's say Alex just extorted 100 tainted Bitcoins from a hospital.
Okay.
Alex takes those funds and deposits them into Audius 6's dark pool. Now, in traditional finance, a transaction is just one person sending money to another person.
Right. Simple A to B.
But a coin join is a massive cooperative transaction. Alex's funds are pooled together with thousands of other hackers and darknet vendors who are all depositing at the exact same time.
Oh, I see. It's like pouring a cup of red-dyed water into a massive public swimming pool and just stirring it up for days.
That is a great way to look at it. But let's take that swimming pool analogy even further. Imagine the FBI doesn't just have to pull the red water out of the pool. They have to prove mathematically which specific cup that red water originally came from.
Oh, wow. That sounds impossible.
That is the hurdle. Because the processing core of Audius 6 activates and violently splinters Alex's 100 Bitcoin into tens of thousands of tiny microfractions.
So it's not even whole coins anymore.
Right. And then it applies the most crucial mechanism of all, the time delay parameter.
So it doesn't just spit the clean money out immediately on the other side.
No, absolutely not. Because if 100 Bitcoin goes in, and then 100 Bitcoin comes out 10 seconds later to a new wallet, law enforcement can easily connect the dots based on the volume.
Right. The math would be too obvious.
Exactly. Audius 6 used randomized intervals. It would hold the funds, sometimes for days, and slowly drip those tens of thousands of microfractions from thousands of obscured intermediate wallets into a brand new destination address for Alex.
And the neon paint is washed off.
Essentially, yes. The end result was that traditional heuristic tracking, which is the software the good guys used to trace the blockchain, was completely paralyzed.
I mean, it sounds mathematically impenetrable, They laundered $380 million using this exact method. So how do you catch a multi-billion dollar cartel hiding behind flawless math?
Well, by discovering that the math wasn't actually flawless after all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And this brings us to Operation Kronos. It started back in November 2025. The UK's National Crime Agency and the blockchain forensics firm Chainalysis started looking at transaction clusters linked to a specific ransomware strain.
Okay.
And they noticed statistical anomalies pointing toward Audius6's network.
So they see the digital footprint. And then, according to the report, in March 2026, Europol makes a massive move. The report says they deployed sinkholes deep within the Tor network to find the servers.
Right.
But wait. I need to push back here for a second. I thought Tor, you know, the onion router, the dark web, was specifically designed to make it impossible to locate a physical server.
It is.
So how do you find a physical server through a completely anonymized network?
It's incredibly difficult, but not impossible if you have state-level resources.
Okay.
Tor works by bouncing traffic through layers of encrypted relays, like peeling an onion. But Europol essentially set up their own compromised nodes within the network.
Whoa, they hacked the dark web itself.
Kind of, yeah. By intercepting the encrypted traffic as it passed through these sinkholes, they were able to slowly map out the cloud infrastructure. They traced the digital threads back to actual physical data centers across three different Eastern European nations.
Which culminated just last week. Helicopters, tactical gear, the whole nine yards. A coordinated raid hitting a 12 data center simultaneously.
Massive operation.
They seized the cold wallets, arrested the key operators, and plastered that massive, "This site has been seized by the FBI" banner across every Audius6 darknet domain.
But here's the crazy part. That physical raid was only authorized because of a staggering technical breakthrough behind the scenes.
A demixing simulation.
Exactly. Chainalysis built a virtual laboratory sandbox to run what they called a demixing simulation. They took hundreds of transactions that the FBI had already flagged as ransomware payments, injected them into the live Audius6 network, and then unleashed advanced machine learning and AI to track the outputs.
They sicked an AI on the swimming pool. That's amazing. What did it find?
It found the fatal flaw in the mixer's core logic. It turned out the random number generator, the engine dictating that crucial time delay payout we just talked about, wasn't truly random.
Hang on. If these are massive digital cartels, and they have the money to recruit the best coding prodigies on the planet, how do they completely mess up the basic concept of random?
Because human beings are terrible programming true randomness.
Really?
Yeah. If a human coder tells a machine to pick random times to pay out, the underlying code will almost always default to a known statistical curve called the Poisson distribution.
The Poisson distribution.
Yeah. Think of it like cars arriving at a toll booth or raindrops hitting a sidewalk. From minute to minute, the timing feels completely random.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't predict the next raindrop.
But if you step back and look at the data over a week, a very clear, undeniable mathematical curve appears. Because a human wrote the code for Audius6, a hidden statistical rhythm remained embedded within the machine.
Oh, wow.
Human analysts couldn't see it. There was just too much data. But the AI spotted the Poisson distribution immediately.
So they found the hidden rhythm.
They did. And once they had that mathematical filter, the FBI applied it across the entire public blockchain. They eliminated all the decoy noise, bypassed the splintered microfractions, and pinpointed Audius6's main cold wallets holding the funds with a staggering 99.2% accuracy.
That is just incredible. They didn't just seize the servers. They literally broke the math.
Completely shattered it.
And the fallout from breaking that math is happening right now on the dark web. The report calls it a systemic liquidity crisis.
This is the real catastrophe for the cartels.
Yeah.
It's not just the millions of dollars that the FBI physically seized during the raid. The true nightmare is that the cartels are now entirely paralyzed. They are sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars in stolen Bitcoin, and they can't touch a single cent of it.
Because the FBI didn't just take the servers, they took the logs.
All of them. By seizing the back end, authorities acquired the transaction histories and real wallet addresses of the top international hackers.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Every legitimate cryptocurrency exchange in the world instantly updated their internal blacklists based on those seized logs. If a hacker tries to move their tainted money today, automated systems will lock it down in seconds.
So if you are listening to this and you've ever wondered why the hackers keep coming after corporations, it's obviously for the payday.
Right.
But right now, it's like a cartel successfully stealing the Mona Lisa. Congratulations, you pulled off the heist, you have the painting in your basement. But who on earth can you sell it to?
Exactly. You can't.
If you try to take it to an auction house, you're arrested instantly. The FBI just made the prize completely worthless, which destroys the entire economic incentive to hack in the first place.
The psychological impact of this on the dark web cannot be overstated. The Tekken report actually includes something called the Dark Web Panic Level Index.
A panic index?
Yeah, they track chatter on underground exploit forums. Right now, the fear and mistrust index is at an all-time high. Trust in the underground economy has completely evaporated.
The report mentions that demand for exploit kits, which is, you know, the actual software used to break into networks, has just plummeted.
Because nobody wants to work. The core operators of these massive ransomware groups rely on independent contractors called affiliates.
The gig economy of cybercrime.
Basically. They are the actual pen testers who do the dirty work of breaching the networks. Right now, those affiliates are looking at the Audius6 takedown and just refusing to hack.
I mean, it makes sense.
Why would you take on the immense risk of attacking a corporate network for a commission that is practically radioactive and completely uncashable?
It's a complete systemic freeze of the entire ecosystem. But if there is one thing we know about organized crime, it's that they don't just give up, apologize, and go get desk jobs.
No, they don't.
And the report explicitly warns about this. Organized crime behaves like pressurized water. If you violently block one channel, that pressure is going to inevitably rupture and forge a new path.
Which brings us to the endless nature of this cyber war. With centralized mixers exposed, we are witnessing a historic migration within the dark web right now.
They're moving on.
Yeah. The cartels are moving away from centralized infrastructure entirely. They are migrating to decentralized finance, or DeFi, and specifically, they are flocking to privacy coins.
And the undisputed king of the privacy coins is Monero, or XMR.
Right.
So how does Monero bypass the AI demixing that took down Audius6?
Well, it comes back to the ledger itself. We established earlier that Bitcoin has a fully transparent public ledger. You can see the amounts in the wallets.
The neon paint.
Exactly. But Monero operates on a completely opaque ledger. It uses a cryptographic protocol called RingCT.
Okay, hold on. What is RingCT actually doing behind the scenes?
So think of Ring confidential transactions like signing a check. But your signature is mathematically tangled up with five other random people's signatures pulled from the network.
Okay.
Anyone looking at the check knows that one of you signed it and the funds are valid, but it is cryptographically impossible to prove which of the six signatures is the real sender.
Wow.
Furthermore, it mathematically conceals the actual amount being sent. So there are no addresses, no amounts, and no neon paint.
None at all. And from what I read, it's not just the coin they're using, it's how they are trading it. To avoid centralized platforms, the hackers are shifting to cross-chain swapping using decentralized exchanges, or DEXs.
Yeah.
They swap their tainted Bitcoin for clean Monero using automated mathematical smart contracts. There is no centralized company running it.
Which means there are zero centralized servers.
Right. Which means there is no physical data center for law enforcement to raid with helicopters. There is no server to unplug.
None.
Which honestly forces me to ask a pretty bleak question about this whole Hydra effect.
Go for it.
If shutting down the centralized target of Audius6 just forces all these brilliant hackers to migrate to decentralized, totally opaque systems like Monero, didn't law enforcement just accidentally create a much harder problem?
That's the big question.
Are we just cutting off the head of a centralized dragon only to birth an unstoppable decentralized Hydra?
It is a totally valid concern, and the intelligence community absolutely acknowledges this as a future peril in the report.
Oh.
By destroying the easy target, you do force the pathogen to mutate into something much harder to track.
Right.
However, right now, the hackers are facing a massive, unavoidable bottleneck with Monero liquidity.
Because it's too hard to turn Monero into actual real-world dollars.
Exactly. To watch a $50 million hospital ransom, you need massive global market volume. But under intense pressure from global regulators, almost all the major legitimate cryptocurrency exchanges have completely delisted Monero.
Oh, so they can't even trade it on the big markets.
Right. You simply cannot convert tens of millions of dollars of Monero into fiat currency quickly or quietly. So while that decentralized Hydra is a real looming threat for the future, the systemic liquidity shock that law enforcement has achieved right now is a massive, undeniable triumph.
They bought us time.
Yes. They have successfully paralyzed the vast majority of active ransomware operations today.
It is a breathtaking, high-stakes game of cat and mouse.
It really is. To synthesize the findings of the Tekken report, The dramatic downfall of Adia 6 proves definitively that state intelligence wielding big data can shatter even the most sophisticated dark web algorithms.
Yeah.
But it serves as a stark warning. The next era of this cyber war won't be fought by raiding data centers in Eastern Europe. It's going to be fought entirely within the mathematical, borderless confines of decentralized smart contracts.
And that leaves us, and you listening, with one final kind of chilling thought to ponder.
Yeah.
We just talked about how law enforcement used artificial intelligence to expose the hidden human statistical flaws in Adia 6's code.
The Poisson distribution.
Right. So how long until these billion-dollar digital cartels stop using human coders altogether?
Oh, wow.
Right. What happens to your data, your hospitals, and the global economy when we enter an era of fully automated cyber warfare? An era where cartels use AI to build continuously evolving laundering algorithms, fighting in real time against the FBI's AI with humans entirely locked out of the equation.
That's a scary thought.
We've already gone from the basement hacker to the corporate cartel. The next step might just be the ghost in the machine. Thank you so much for joining us as we unpack this deep dive. Stay curious, keep questioning the world around you, and we will catch you on the next one.